Turn to the book of 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, and we'll read beginning in verse 1. Our text today is verses 1 through 4, but we will read verses 1 through 10. Hear now the word of the living God. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, so that you may grow in respect to salvation if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. And coming to Him as to a living stone which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. This precious value then is for you who believe, but for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they were also appointed. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. Thus ends the reading of God's very word. Let's pray. Lord, you have told us, like newborn babes, to yearn for the pure milk of the Word so that by it we may grow up in respect to salvation. And so as your little children, we are hungry, Lord Jesus. We're hungry for you. We're hungry for you to come by your Spirit and to give us manna from heaven, even this day, spiritual manna. That, Lord, you would take this, your very word, the Holy Scriptures, and you would revive our hearts to see the glory, the beauty of Jesus, and to love him, and to know your powerful saving hand upon us, in us. Lord, bless us now. Preach your gospel to our hearts, we beg, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have been looking together over the past several weeks at this matter of being a pilgrim. And that is the theme in the book of 1 Peter. And we've seen a lot of exciting things of the privilege we have to be aliens, citizens of heaven that have been sent now to live in a foreign land and to plant the flag of Jesus, claiming that land to turn to the living God in Jesus Christ. We come now to another section in the book of 1 Peter that is application. And we see there in verse 1 of 1 Peter chapter 2, therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. And coming to Him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now, what I want us to do this morning is to look at particularly verses 1 through 5. We're going to spend the bulk of our time looking at verse 1 and verse 4. And what I want us to consider is that the life of the pilgrim, the life of a Christian, is one of, as we read there in verse 2, growing in respect to salvation. It is God's plan. It is God's intention. It is God's work that we as His people grow. You know, we're all growing. When you're little, you grow this way. When you get big, you start growing this way. Just kidding. But we all are supposed to grow. And we never stop growing spiritually this side of heaven if we are alive in Jesus Christ. And that's what this passage is talking about. You remember last Lord's Day, we talked about the place of the Word of God in the life of the Christian. That we yearn for the Word. We can't know God apart from the Word. We can't know the living Word apart from the holy, infallible, inspired, written Word of the living God. God's Word is precious to us. And we love to read it. We love to think about it. We love to pray over it. We memorize it. We meditate upon it. We love to gather with God's people to read it, to hear it read, to hear it explained. We read it in our homes and family times of worship together. God's Word is precious. It is the chief tool that God uses to give us faith and grow our faith. And this passage of Scripture then describes for us what God is going to be doing with this tool. And you'll notice in verse 3 that it assumes that we are Christians. Okay, so what we're looking at today, this process of growing in Jesus, it assumes that we belong to Jesus. You see verse 2, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted of the kindness of the Lord. And so here's this description of being a Christian, of growing as a Christian. It is, if you've tasted of the kindness of the Lord, if you're a Christian, if you've been born again. And so this description of being born again, of being a Christian, is described here as one who has tasted of the kindness of the Lord. And God has given us life in Jesus Christ. And when we get to heaven, we'll have the fullness. It won't just be a taste. We'll have the fullness of all of the blessings God has in store for us as His blood-bought, loved little children. But right now, we have a real, and it's a glorious taste of the kindness of the Lord. We have life in His Son. We no longer are walking in darkness. We no longer have meaninglessness. We no longer have emptiness. We no longer have despair and no hope. But we're a people now who have God as our God, our Creator. We know who He is. We know who we are. We're His creatures that He made to praise Him and love Him and live for Him. And we have work to do. We're here to serve Him. We're here to love Him. We're here to love the people around us in Him and for Him. We're here to seek to build Christian homes and to raise children to love Jesus. That they would have a Christian home and they would raise children to love Jesus. We want to establish Christian businesses that would honor Jesus Christ. We want the institutions that we're a part of to hold up the name of Jesus and to live and operate according to what God says in Holy Scripture is true and good and right. We want the civil magistrate to take to heart who he really is according to Almighty God. The servant of God to protect what God says is good and punish what God says is evil. And so that's what it is to taste of the kindness of the Lord, to be washed in the blood of the Lamb, to be a little child of God, having simple childlike faith to rest in Jesus as our Redeemer. And if we have tasted of the kindness of the Lord, we're growing. Now I want you to notice how growing is described. In verse 1 of chapter 2, we are putting aside some things. And then down in verses 4 and 5, we're doing some things that God wants us to do. So we're not doing things that displease God. We're putting aside things that are against God. And we're putting on or growing in things that please God. And we shouldn't be surprised to see that practical application about what it looks like to grow in Jesus, because in many places in the New Testament, we see this kind of language being used, this kind of paradigm, that here's what it looks like to grow in Jesus. And we're just going to look at a few of those and then come back and see what's unique about 1 Peter chapter 2 in this description about growing up in Jesus. First of all, turn with me and let's look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And here we have a passage that describes when a person becomes a Christian, when a person becomes a lover of Jesus Christ, a child of God, we quit doing certain things and we yearn to do things that please Jesus. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship, or your reasonable service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that ye may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And so here the Apostle Paul says, look, because of the mercies of God, we don't want to be conformed to the world. We don't want to be pressed in the world's mold. And so we're going to have to make a break with the way the world thinks and the way the world treats one another and the way the world operates. And now we want to be renewed in our minds to be conformed to the will of God. Look over in Ephesians chapter 4. And this is a much more detailed description of this. In Ephesians 4, verse 17. He's just talked about the place of the Word of God in growing as a Christian. Look up in verse 11. He's talked about Christ giving gifts to his church. And in verse 11, he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service or ministry to the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man. Now I want you to notice here again, here's the Word of God, and here are servants who God raises up to be used as tools in His hand to help God's people understand Scripture, understand the gospel, and be growing up in Jesus. And so we see, verse 14, As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So this I say, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind. And so notice what he says here. Here's the take-home message. Don't walk the way Gentiles walk any longer, because we belong to Jesus now. We've come to know Him. Verse 18, these Gentiles, the world, pagans, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And in chapter 2, the Apostle Paul said, that's what we all used to be. That's what I would be. That's what I am apart from the grace of God. I'm darkened in my mind. I can't understand God left to myself. But look what God has done. He's come and He's delivered me from a life of living like a heathen. And He's made me His child now. He said, look, you're mine. And we want to bear the Father's resemblance more and more. We want to grow to be recognized more and more as a child belonging to Him. And so he says, these people are, verse 19, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught in Him just as truth is in Jesus. And you remember when we were looking in 1 Peter chapter 1, we said, now, why is it that we love Him even though we haven't seen Him? And you remember we said, we haven't seen Him, but we have what? We've heard Him. And when Jesus drew us unto Himself, He took His word. And we didn't hear with these ears, but with these ears we heard the Lord Jesus calling us to trust in Him. If indeed you have heard Him and been taught in Him just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner in life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self. And so we see, put off the old, put on the new. That's how growing in Christ is described. That's what the Word of God is used for. The Lord Jesus comes by His Spirit and takes the Word of God and is causing us to grow in Christ, to put off the old man and to put on the new man in Christ. And so, he says verse 24, and put on the new man, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. And so now he gives us some examples what this looks like. Look at verse 25. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor. What's the old self? Lying, falsehood, put that off. In its place, put on what? In Jesus Christ, speaking the truth. Look at verse 26. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. So what do we put off? We put off unrighteous anger. We put off anger that is upset about the wrong thing and expresses itself in an ungodly and an unholy way, shouting and hollering and getting red in the face. We're putting that off. In its place, what do we put on? We're dealing with things that are wrong in God's way. We let love cover a multitude of sins. And when we can't or shouldn't, we're going humbly and confronting those who aren't doing right. asking to be reconciled in the name of the Lord Jesus. Be angry, but sin not. Don't let the devil have an opportunity. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Put off the old man, put on the new in Christ Jesus. Verse 28, he who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good. So what's the old man we put off? Being on the take. Everywhere we look, we're trying to figure out what's in it for me. How can I? What can I get out of this? That's what we're to put off. What do we put on? We put on seeking to take care of ourselves. Work. We labor with our own hands so that we will have not only enough to take care of ourselves, but to be able to minister to those who are in need around us. Verse 29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification. We put off the old man, speaking words that are full of hate and tear down, and we speak words in Jesus Christ now that build people up around us. Do you see how this thing of the Word of God coming in Jesus Christ and transforming our lives, what it looks like to grow up in Christ? It's this process of putting off the old man and putting on the new man in Christ. Let's turn to another passage of Scripture, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And every time I read this passage, I remember the day that we had come back from a long trip. We had pulled in the parking lot, and my wife looked at me and she said, "Honey, I'm going to run into the store here and get some milk and some eggs, and you sit here in the car with the children." It was hot. I mean, it was hot. About 90 degrees. And so, you know, we rolled the windows down, and the little ones were there in the car. And so I told a few stories, and then we decided it would be good to sing. And one of the songs that we were singing, belting out there in the parking lot, where Grant's is now, that's where we were, we're singing, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." So far, so good. But about that time, this pickup truck pulled up. And it was an older couple. They had obviously come to town to get some supplies. And the older gentleman, they had their windows rolled down, and she got out of the car and had just started walking through the parking lot. And the next part of that song is based on Colossians 3, and my children particularly, they were excited about belting out this next part of the song, which said, "Ye are dead, ye are dead." And it was about that time that he turned the engine off, and he could hear this car full of little children singing, "Ye are dead." And his face, his eyes got big, and, you know, he, I'm sure, wondered what is going to happen to me now. But as we kept singing, he was relieved that we were singing about Jesus. And everything was okay. He calmed down rather quickly. But look at this passage with me. Because here's another passage that describes growing in Jesus. Verse 1, "Therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." You see, here's this truth again about how a Christian is to grow up in light of who we are. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body are dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience, and in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside: anger, wrath, slander and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. And so do you see this description now, growing in Jesus again, that we need to take to heart, we need to reckon, we need to understand who we are now in Jesus Christ. We no longer belong to the world, but we belong to Jesus. And therefore, we ought to put off the remnants of the old man more and more and put on the new man in Christ Jesus. Because we belong to Jesus. And just as He died on the cross, but now has been raised from the dead, that's what we experience. That's what we are to grow in more and more. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Here's another passage that describes knowing Jesus Christ. We have this description of how God has made us sons and daughters of the living God in Christ Jesus. We see that in chapter 4. Look down in verse 3. So also we, while we were children, were held in bondage under the elemental things of the world. But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that He might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And then he continues this idea about being children of God over in chapter 5. And he begins to talk about how that there were people who were seeking to disrupt and trouble them by preaching a gospel different. And so in chapter 5, in verse 13, he says, For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. And again, we have this contrast made that don't want to walk according to the flesh anymore. We want to put those things away, and we want to walk by the Spirit and exhibit and grow in the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We put off the old man and are putting on the new man. And this isn't something that happens instantaneously when you become a Christian. Just like physically, when a little baby is born, you know, I don't look anything like I did when I was born. I mean, really, it's true. I didn't have a mustache, you know. I didn't have white hair. Wow. I'm all grown up now. almost, physically, but I'm not all grown up spiritually. God's still growing me up spiritually. And that's what God does with the Word of God in Jesus Christ. We're putting off the old man, the remnants of the old man, and putting on the new man in Christ. Let's look at another passage of Scripture. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6 and 7. Now, we're not going to read all of these verses together, but that's basically what we see in Romans 6 and 7. Sanctification, this process of sanctification, of us considering who we are. We're going to jump down in the middle of this, but he says, because we've been joined to Jesus, whatever has happened to Jesus happens to us. Jesus died, we died. Jesus was raised to life, we've been raised to life. And therefore, we are to understand that and live that out. And so here's the take-home message. Verse 8, now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over Him. For the death that He died to sin once for all. But the life that He lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be what? Dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. And so, here's another passage that describes growing in Christ. That we're putting off the old man and putting on the new man in Christ Jesus. And this passage focuses, like Colossians 3 did, on Jesus dying. We die in Him. He was raised from the dead. We are raised in Him. Now, when a person trusts in Jesus, that second we become a child of God. But it's like being born physically. You're not born all grown up mature with a set of teeth that you can enjoy and eat a big juicy hamburger. You know? You have to grow for a while before you can enjoy things like that. And spiritually, the second we trust in Jesus, God washes our sins away. He makes us His. But that's when we start growing. And God calls upon us to be a people who grow in Jesus. If we're not growing, that means we don't belong to Christ. All those who belong to Christ grow. Now, we don't all grow at the same rate. And we have growth spurts. And we have times when we have spiritual struggles. And our growth is stunted. But God is growing us as His children. Over in chapter 7, the Apostle Paul describes how that at times he struggled so. He said the very thing that he wanted to do, he didn't do. And the very thing he knew that he shouldn't do, he did. I think I got that right. Anyway, he struggled spiritually. And he in verse 18, describes his experience. He says, for I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. Left to ourselves, what can we produce? You remember John 15? Jesus said, we've got to abide in Him. But apart from me, Jesus said, what can we do? You can do nothing. That's what Jesus said. And that's what the Apostle Paul is testifying here. Just in and of myself, apart from the grace of God, apart from the presence of the Holy Spirit, what good dwells in me? Nothing. But we are a people who belong to Jesus if we have tasted the kindness of the Lord. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. But if I am doing the very thing that I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. Now, he's not denying human responsibility. He's just saying that the person I am is Paul, a bondslave of Jesus Christ. And that's who I am. He's not Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. He is now a lover of Jesus. He says, oh, how painful it is to me now, a lover of Jesus, that I find myself forgetting who I am and acting like the old Apostle Paul. I love Martin Luther's testimony after he came to trust in Jesus Christ. He said Satan would come and knock at the door of his house. And he'd come to the door. Luther would paint these colorful pictures. And he said, there would be the devil standing with a platter with all of the choice sins that Martin Luther struggled with on this platter. And the devil would put this platter forth and he'd say, I have this for Martin Luther. And Luther would say, I'm sorry, Martin Luther doesn't live here anymore. He's dead. And that's what God's message is to us, that the old Henry Johnson is dead. It was crucified on the cross when Jesus was crucified on the cross. And because Jesus has come forth from the tomb, giving life, we now are new creatures in Christ Jesus. And we need to learn to live in light of that. I will never forget reading the testimony of a man who was a street person. Now, when I was growing up, we called them bums. That's not politically correct. But this street person who had just gotten weary and tired, he had been an executive in a business. He got discouraged with life, and he ended up living on a street in Chicago. And he slept in a cardboard box. In the wintertime, he would pull it over where there was a grate where a heat vent came up. And he had a distant relative who left him, but it was between $90 and $100 million. And one day, this shiny black limousine pulled up in this kind of low economic area of Chicago, and these guys in these three-piece suits started asking for this guy's name. And he assumed it was the mafia, and so he really became hard to find. He lived eating out of dumpsters at the restaurants. That's how he lived. And this team of lawyers, when this relative died, knew of his existence, but they had a hard time finding him. And this newspaper article described the experience of this man when finally they convinced some of his buddies that they weren't with the mob, that they were a team of lawyers that were trying to find him so that they could tell him that he was a multimillionaire. And the rest of the newspaper article was his experience of going from living in a cardboard box to the next day being in a penthouse suite in the Hilton. This team of lawyers had secured this lush hotel suite for him to stay in while all the legal papers and everything were drawn up. And it was a newspaper article that described his experience of learning to live in light of the wealth he had. Now, for all of those months, while he was a millionaire, he was still living like a pauper. He was still living like a street person. And the message of 1 Peter is, God says, as God's children, as pilgrims, don't live like a spiritual bum, but live now more and more in light of who God has made us in Christ Jesus. So turn back with me to 1 Peter. And what I want you to see here in 1 Peter is, he has this exhortation to put off certain things. And then what he says to put on here is unique in the way it's described. Look with me in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, putting aside, and so here's now the remnants of the old man that God says, you need to consider this as foreign to who we are now in Christ. Malice, you know, being full of hate. Having a chip on your shoulder where you just love, argue, and fight and be mean. Put aside malice and all deceit. We want to tell the truth because we have a God who's the God of truth. God has been everything but hateful to us. He has been so kind to us. And because He is full of kindness to us, we don't want to have malice anymore. We're putting that aside. Because God's a God of truth, we want to put aside untruthfulness, lying, deceit. And we want to speak the truth in love. Hypocrisy. We don't want to be playing games. We don't want to be just play actors on the stage of life. We're putting that aside. That's how the world lives. The world puts on a front. But you see, we as those who have tasted the kindness of the Lord, we want to walk with Jesus. Whether anybody is around, whether anybody is around that we know, we want to walk with Jesus, putting aside hypocrisy, envy. Instead of always thinking, oh, if I only had this, then I'd be happy. If I only had this new bike, then I'd be happy. If I only had that pickup truck, then I'd be happy. If I only had a better job, I'd be happy. If I only had more obedient children, then I'd be happy. I mean, on and on and on and on. If I only had parents that understood, I'd be happy. Envy, we put that aside, and we're content to follow Jesus. And all slander, we're putting that aside. We don't want to use our tongues like sharp daggers. That everywhere we go, we're always slicing people. Well, that's not how we want our tongues to be. We want our tongues to be instruments of blessing and mercy for those that are around us. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. And you remember the list that we read over in Galatians 5. He says, and things like this. This isn't an exhaustive list. Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. And coming to Him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And so, the description of what we put on. And here's the conclusion. See, the bell is announcing. Here it is. We're putting off the remnants of the old man. And what are we putting on? He describes this process of growing in Jesus now in terms of us being spiritual blockhead. I mean, living stones. You're not a blockhead. I'm just seeing if you're awake. Living stones, spiritual stones, joined together in Christ Jesus to be what? A spiritual house to do what? To offer up spiritual sacrifices. And we're going to stop there today. And next week, it is so painful to stop here. But next week, we're going to look at this passage of Scripture, and we're going to look at some other passages that describe our experience, not just as individuals, but as individuals with other living stones who together have the joy of offering up spiritual sacrifices to God that are acceptable to God because of Jesus. And so, are you growing in Jesus? And you say, well, I don't know. And if you really genuinely don't know whether you're growing, let me encourage you to ask people who've known you for a long time. Just say, you know, do you think I'm different? And not just different, but do you see any growth in me? Do you see any changes over the years? Do you see how God is making me more like Him? Years ago, I had a friend one time that saw me exclaim. I didn't curse, but I exclaimed my great displeasure when a car pulled out in front of me. And this person said, you know, a Christian ought not act that way. Now, I didn't want to hear that. You know, that was not what I wanted to hear. But how I praise God that friend pointed that out. And I got to thinking about it and praying, and I thought, you know, that's right. Christian ought not act that way. And so I began to pray that God would change my heart and change that habit. And I started trying to pray for drivers that were not being good. Are there any changes that have taken place in your life? You know, ask people around. And if you see that there is growth, then what? Pray that God will help us grow more, right? Because we want to grow in Jesus. And if you see, you know, there's really not much growth, then cry out to Jesus to grow you in Him. And if you realize, you know, I really don't belong to Jesus, then run to Him, even this day, and say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. I need life in You. I don't want to live as a pagan, denying You and living in malice and envy and strife. Lord, I want to be right with You. Cleanse me in Your blood. Let's pray. Father, how we thank You for Your word, and we pray that You would write it upon our hearts and lives. Lord Jesus, we do love and adore You, that You are putting to death more and more the old man in us and causing us to grow in You, to put on more and more the new man, the new woman created in You, Lord Jesus, for Your praise. Grow us up in You, Lord Jesus, for the praise of Your name. Lord, not just as individuals, but as a family, as a congregation of Your people. In Jesus we pray. Amen.